add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL on CBS game every week on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, good morning. I don't know what beat that was. I mean, I'll take it. It is what it is. KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson on the fan on the other side. It is now trade deadline day. Quit playing with me, Brian Cashman. Go ahead. Stack the deck. I repeat. Stack the deck. Aaron Judge is in his prime. Juan Soto's in his prime, and he's going to stay in his prime for a long time. But, like, act like you want to come out of the American League this year. Act like it's wide open for you to come out of the American League this year, because it is. You should fear no one in your division, yet you've struggled against your entire division. You should fear no one in the Central Division, even though we think the Guardians are pretty decent. We know that they're not going to do anything with the Yankees in October. Forget the West. I don't fear the Astros or the Mariners or even the Rangers if they figure out how to win that division. They're cooked. There will be no Astros standing in our way. I know some on this station seem to think that, like, oh, yeah, that's your destiny to meet. I'm not thinking about them. I don't want to see them. I don't care about them. If it happens, so be it. Stack the deck around Aaron Judge. He's the best baseball player I've ever seen. Straight up. Straight up. I know Bonds was dope, and Ken Griffey Jr., Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera. I'm talking about when I watched this guy from being in the stadium the first time he went a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly with Tyler Austin, watching how this guy has continued to just be a problem. Oh, yeah, his rookie year he hit 53 home runs. He'll never do it again. Okay. He doesn't have to hit 52. And if you actually had more protection in the lineup and they had to pitch to him, you know, maybe he wouldn't slump. Maybe he wouldn't be sure whether he's going to get walked or get something to hit. And I mean, now that the lineup is stacked, they can't just put Judge on, or you got these guys in the game making this, the decision to face him, and that's usually a bad decision. If you throw the ball in the zone, it's getting rocked. Please. I beg you, don't just think, oh, Jazz is enough. I saw an article about Tommy Edman, and there's a bunch of names floating around. We've already heard everything from David Bednar to Camille Duvall to Pete Fairbanks. Yeah, I expect at least two guys to come out of the bullpen. I expect to see two swing and miss, hard throwing guys out of the bullpen. But give me another starter too. If it's Jack Flaherty, run it. Run it. And if you can get rid of Nestor Cortez and get a piece, Nestor's my dog. He said he wants to stay. He said his agent let him know. He's not a fool. He hears everything. He sees what's going on. But if you can trade Gleyber Torres in a deal to get something that's going to help this team this year, do it. Because I don't expect to see Nestor Cortez making starts in October. And Gleyber Torres, I'm disappointed in you, bro. You're going out sad, and I'm actually kind of sad for you that it turned into all this. Because you were the one, right? He's just a baby, 23 years old, Gleyber Torres. I always remember there was a graphic with him, Ronald Acuna Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., and Juan Soto as like the new like Latin explosion faces of Major League Baseball, the new superstars coming up that are going to be in the MVP hunt. Yeah, Gleyber, just... The routine is supposed to be routine. And you're on a team with Aaron Judge who could have said, I'm not leaving right field. You guys built the Judge's chambers behind me. Juan Soto is great and all, but why would I move over to center field for him? Like, if Judge can switch his position, if so many other guys we've seen, like, you're on the same team where Alex Rodriguez was a better shortstop than Derek Jeter, but wanted to win, wanted to do what was best for the team in his career and win. So he learned how to play third base. And then I see a guy like Jazz Chisholm come here and say, yeah, it was whatever, like just like a kid out there. Yeah, you know, like first time out there, a 2 home run game, made plenty of plays. You know, tonight was a night where, like, if Gleyber Torres is gone, or last night was a night now that we've turned off. If Gleyber Torres is gone, he earned it. He earned his ticket out of here for sure on the way out. The 320 average and some homers and some clutch moments late, that don't fool me. Fool me, can't fool me again. I don't want to be fooled in October when you boot a ground ball to end an inning and then you make whoever's on the mound have to continue wasting pitch. You know what I'm saying? 888-808-1019. They can send Gleyber Torres anywhere because this guy had the audacity to say he's a second baseman. You lead the league in errors. And since your time coming up in 2018, you have the most errors. So don't talk about what you are. Don't talk about, you know, what you play as if you're a pro's pro. You only play this, right? Because I remember being in the stadium April 2021 when they tried to make you the shortstop. I remember being in the Barclays Center when they sat you courtside, like the new face of the Yankees' new shortstop. I remember seeing your JBL ads, and I think he had a Ithaca ad. He had a bunch of different, like, sponsors and stuff. Like, they were trying to push him as the shortstop of the New York Yankees, but I sat in there in the rain and the cold. Shout out to my boy, Joe's McFly. We bought out the first 11 or 12 games that year, thinking, oh, COVID, 10% capacity. Oh, there's not going to be any tickets. I remember we got just Yankee fan fiends for the stadium, fiends for the live game. Like, yo, we got to buy these tickets. I think I paid over $800 just to be in the first 11 games, or I think it was 11 games in April, to be at all the first 11 games in April. And we sat in 103. We had a good view of Gleyber Torres, and I'm like, nah, buddy, he's not a shortstop. He can't play the position, bro. How long are they going to go on with this? And then later on that season, they had to move him, and then you move him to second base, and then that creates an issue when you just signed DJ LeMahieu, who plays second base, and now it's like this guy can only play second base. If the bat's not there, it hasn't been there. The errors are there, and it's not good enough. Gleyber Torres, in my opinion, tomorrow is good as gone. You could trade him for anything. You could trade him for a pack of gum. I don't care, bro. It's over. And now that you have Jazz, you have some flexibility. I think that they might look at Oswaldo Cabrera and his clutch gene, right? They might look at his hustle, his athleticism, and say, hey, we can get by with a combination of him and DJ, but I hope they don't. There is no getting by. You stack the deck. Go get somebody that can play third base. Jazz can do it, but he's learning on the fly. So the same way I fear Gleyber Torres botching a routine play in October, if you try and make that Jazz's everyday position, the same thing could happen to him. Ball will find you. Ball finds him last night. He was ready to go, but, you know, get somebody that can field that position consistently. We'll see. But, yeah, shout out to Jazz. Earlier I was talking about how a trade gets made and it sends shockwaves through the team, right? I saw a stat that, you know, he would have 19 home runs if he was playing. I think Max Goodman put it out. Jazz Chisholm Jr. hit 13 home runs to start the season with the Marlins. According to StatCast, he'd have 19 homers at Yankee Stadium. Man, bring that boy to the Bronx this weekend. And then you're going to see a star is born here. He's already a star. He was on the cover of the show before Vladdy was on it. Kids love him because he's got the swag, the energy. I remember being on MLB Network off base where we would rate the swag and the sauce and the drip. And I said, man, look at this guy. He's like a baseball superhero. You know, the colors that he wears, the clothes that he wears, how he plays the game, he just pops. Now, is he a superstar to the likes of an Aaron Judge? No. But the Yankees don't need him to be. They need him to be a role player. And I think he's going to play his role, and he's going to fit in great. Now, anybody that was talking about him being a cancer in the clubhouse, ain't wrong. Anybody that wants to focus on him pulling up 90 minutes before first pitch, okay, he threw his hat on, he put his hat to the back. Sometimes, you know, I don't know if you guys realize, fitted hats fit front, back, side. Sometimes you just throw it to the back. It's nothing. I don't know. You want to make so much about it, you're basically telling on yourself. Just tell us what you really don't like. It's not the hat, because plenty of guys have worn their hat backwards for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. And while the Yankees get their swagger back, their mojo back, they find some aura with a guy like Jazz Chisholm coming in, and they haven't lost a game since that trade was announced. The New York Mets stumbled a little bit. You're going to run into Matt Olson when he's hitting home runs. You're going to run into bad pitching performances. You're going to run into your bats being quiet for 20 innings or whatever it was. But that has nothing to do with WFAN. That has nothing to do with Sal Licata from WFAN and his tweet. It's Twitter. Some of you guys think Twitter is a real world. It's fake. I literally refer to it as fake life. It's not a real place. Can't go to Twitter. It's not even Twitter anymore. It's called X.com. It's a cesspool. Elon Musk absolutely ruined the place. And there's a lot of nerds on there. There's a lot of weirdos on there. That they don't have the courage to be themselves. You heard me do this rant. So they attack people that are actually playing the game as their first name, last name, government name. They got a lot to say hiding their face or hiding behind their dog. They got a lot to say that they know won't ever get back to them. Shout out to Sal. I think he did a great job yesterday, hosting the show by himself, not ducking from it, not hiding from it. He even went on baseball night in New York and leaned into it. And you know what? These Mets, the Make It Happen Mets, they're different. I heard a call today. If one player reads that tweet on social media and that affects the team, I'm like, it's so obvious. Some of y'all never been in a clubhouse, locker room, don't know how any of this works. Like, that would be a shame if such thing could happen. A tweet in a fake place, a couple words written in a fake digital platform could actually affect Pete Alonso. Shout out to Pete Alonso doing the scoring first. Jeff McNeil, happy Jeff. Jeff Ballin, Mark Vientos, ready to rock. Luis Torrens called on, ready to rock. I mean, you score 15 runs, and I don't think anyone is talking about a jinx. I don't think anybody is talking about the other shoe dropping. I think you should be talking about taking the series from the Twins. And who are you going to add to this rotation? Who else is the man from Milwaukee going to add to the Make It Happen Carlos Mendoza Mets? Who's going to join the OMG, Grimace, Glizzy, Rally Pimp Mets that are 56-50? And I think they're looking at the wild card and they're looking at the teams below them in the wild card and they feel pretty good about going for it, but obviously know that this is a longer play. I just think that this is a year you can get to the postseason and they're going to give you a couple more horses to ride to October, and I think you'll get there. And I think that I don't know what to think about all the nonsense that I saw this weekend about, oh, this is it, the other shoe's about to drop, Sal Licata, you're a mush, you jinxed us. These mics aren't that powerful, so we'll talk about it. Trade deadline, the 15-2 win that the Mets had tonight over the Minnesota Nice Guys, those pals, those Twins come to New York and they fold like a napkin every time. And the New York Yankees go and face the quote-unquote best team in baseball that's lost 4 series in a row. Finally, that's a shiny lineup. A week ago, the Yankees rolled out Jamai Jones at DH leading off and J.D. Davis at first base cleaning up. Sandwiched between them was Juan Soto and Judge, and I knew it wasn't right. I knew it was wrong. I told y'all I can't take them seriously. So how serious can you take that lineup? How seriously can you take their approach to that game a week ago with Luis Gil on the mound when they literally DFA'd the guys that they had leading off and hitting cleanup? They don't care. They did not take that game seriously at all. 888-808-1019. If there's anything from the weekend that popped up, whether it's Brave Series stuff or whether it's Fenway, the wacky Fenway, they battled, you know. The Red Sox battled the Yankees, but again, those were team wins. Took everybody in the bullpen, took everybody in the lineup. I feel like everybody had a moment where they did something to contribute in that series. And that is how the team moves on. That's how the team puts the negativity behind them. That's how the team moves forward. And for the Mets, okay, you dropped 2 games, but you added Jesse Winker. Ryan Stanek will be better. Phil Maton has been solid. And you hope that you can get a starter with the unfortunate news of Kodai Senga going down. And obviously, Christian Scott is out as well. Let's hit the phones before we go to break. It's 888-808-1019. I'd love to hear from you, Yankee fans, Mets fans, as today is the day. It is finally July 30th. Pencils down at 6 p.m. Some of you might be happy or disappointed with what happens, but at least both the Mets and the Yankees have made a move before the buzzer beater moves that get made in the late afternoon. And I think the Yankees have righted the ship, and I think one win cures all for the Mets fans that might have been worried. First inning, go down 1-0. Oh, this is it. No, it's not it. These guys are too good. They're too good. All right, dial the number. Let's hit the phone. My guy Bruce is in Flushing, back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing? Before I get to my Yankee moves, another trade went down, which I think will interest Mets fans. Atlanta Braves just got Jorge Sola.
Yeah, yes, sir. I mentioned it with right after Josh Impiseg was on. Oh, I said okay. That the Braves want to run it back. They're trying to rekindle some flames, get that old thing back. He did it last time when Ronald Acuna Jr. was hurt. They're hoping he can come back and power him to another World Series. Yes, Jorge Soler traded from the Giants to the Braves.
Now let me get to my Yankee moves. There's several, and let me explain my reasoning. Number one, since we're going for the World Series this year, and how many have to take out some extra bucks from the piggy bank, we're going to trade Brock Salvage, we're going to trade George Lombardi, and we're going to trade Will Warren to the Giants for Blake Snell and Mark Chapman. And the reason why, you put Snell in the starting rotation, Chapman's got a great glove. You know, he hit 250 now.
He's got
right-handed power when he faces the lefties. And you're going to say to me, well, and for people, because I've already been criticized by his trade by another host, TV host, who said the Yankees are giving up so much talent and these guys can opt out for next year. Well, either you're going all in or you're not going all in. And I want to get your opinion on that.
Oh, yeah.
Would you have any problem giving up all these prospects and just getting these guys for this year if it works out like that?
I don't care about these young prospects at all. This is the year to go in. The American League is wide open. If you want to give up Brock Salvage, that's fine. George Lombardi, that's fine. I don't care. Especially now that I'm thinking about it, you know, we had another caller suggest Blake Snell and Matt Chapman. And if you can get them two together in a deal for three prospects, hell yeah, run it.
Without giving up Jones.
I've been saying I'm not trading Spencer Jones. I'm not trading Jason Dominguez. But it's got to be. I mean, if they do, they got to get an offensive piece back. Maybe even an outfielder. I don't think it'll happen with the Giants. I don't think they're looking to trade their one or two prospects. I think that they can do a package like you said and maybe get one or two guys. And if the Giants are ready to send both of Scott Boras's clients and Blake Snell and Matt Chapman over here, so be it.
Now my next move would be, with if we have Jazz and we got Chapman, we put Jazz at second base and trade Torres to Seattle. Their second baseman, Polanco, the last time I looked, was hitting 209. And Seattle always liked Torres.
Yeah.
And I don't care what I get back. Just give me prospects.
Yep.
Will be fine by me.
I take
one. You agree to that?
Of course I agree. I mean, like, when they were able to trade Joey Gallo for Clayton Beter, I'm like, great. 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 Now, I know Beter got hurt and we saw him earlier and whatever. If you can give me one pitching prospect for Gleyber Torres, I'll take it because time has come. It's run its course.
Now, my next move would then be to go either after Tanner Scott or Finnegan.
There's another
the
name.
Giants.
Yeah.
And give up some more prospects. And then if you can complete all these moves, you got a closer, you got a top-notch starter, and a third baseman. And that I'll go to war with that team.
Oh, yeah. Great call, Bruce. I'm with you on it. I agree. My boy Matt with the stats from MLB Network hit me before the show. We were talking about the game, and, you know, it's funny. I love that, like, some of the little sayings and things that I say on air, like when people that are friends of mine that listen, you know, they kick them back to me. I've been screaming stack the deck for over a year on this station, and Matt's like, bro, stack the deck. He said, this is the offense Yankee fans deserve to have. Hopefully they still add to it by tomorrow. I said, hell yeah. That's my message tonight. Judge is in his prime. Friday night, I'm talking to my boy Zeke, and I'm like, bro, they are wasting Judge's prime. We just saw Judge hit a 500-foot bomb. If that ball did not hit that back fence where like, I don't know, I guess, I've never been to Fenway. I guess they can walk down that way. Like, that ball would have went 500 feet. You're like, to tell me you have this alien cyborg mutant of a baseball player in Judge, and you're just going to keep rolling DJ LeMahieu and J.D. Davis and Jermai Jones and these brand, like, nah, no way. Stack the deck. And he said, yo, he's like, get greedy. He's like, so, and you know what I said to him as well? I said, what if someone gets hurt? You have to stack the deck. Multiple guys have already gotten hurt. And he says, someone is going to get hurt. Stack the lineup, get Jonathan India, get Jack Flaherty, get Tanner Skye, and Fernando Cruz. So, yeah, now we've got those guys. We've got Blake Snell. We've got Matt Chapman, Camille Duvall, David Bednar, Tommy Edman. Who else am I forgetting? Call me up and tell me. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're back on the fan.
Hey, Keith, how's it going, man?
Good, good. Ready for the deadline. Ready to be surprised. Like, I just, we've seen this with Cashman. He'll do something like trade Jordan Montgomery for Harrison Bader, where everybody's like, and then we'll see.
Well, it looked like that almost happened with Edmund for Cortez. It looked like history's going to repeat itself for a second. Well, Yankees starter one for a Cardinals position player, but you see, when Edmund go to LA, I think they had like that three-way deal.
I didn't see that. Sam. I missed that. I was reading an article earlier about it. Thanks for the update.
Eric Fetty, Tommy Pham to the Cardinals. Tommy Edman, Michael Kopech.
Oh, I did see that.
Dodgers.
What am I talking about? Of course, yeah. That was a huge trade.
That happened before. Yeah, I think Vargas went to the Chicago. Now you see this.
Still there? I think we lost Ross. See, this is what I'm saying. I had notes from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I read an article in Sports Illustrated about Tommy Edman 2 days ago, and it said the Yankees and Dodgers are eyeing the same Gold Glove winner. But if you're following along at home, which it's a lot to follow, the Dodgers got Tommy Edman. I don't know if he's still there. I didn't drop the call, Alex. I thought I just heard him, but I think his phone cut out. Anywho, call back, Ross. These things happen, see? This is why I always get on and I tell you guys, I don't know everything. Call me up and tell me. You might actually jog my memory. Right, so everybody saw the three-team trade. Edman is off the board. The Dodgers get Tommy Edman, Michael Kopech, and Oliver Gonzalez. The Cardinals get Eric Fetty, Tommy Pham, which, I mean, I'm sure you guys saw that trade and thought, hey, how come the Mets weren't involved? How come the Yankees weren't involved? White Sox get Miguel Vargas, Harold Perez, Alexander Albertus, and three-team deal. Dodgers, Cardinals, White Sox. So, yeah, Tommy Edman is not an option for the New York Yankees. Maybe Jonathan India. I don't think Jonathan India has been moved yet. But maybe there's some of you that are thinking like I'm thinking, facial hair policy or just, I don't know. I'm hoping that they don't think Jazz Chisholm's enough because Jazz can play second base, shortstop, third base, center field. And then they want to stick with the guys that they have. But I think that it depends on what happens today at the deadline. I think if they're able to get rid of Gleyber Torres, sure. Nobody's taking DJ. DJ's time is done. He's cooked. Even tonight when you saw him, it's like, bro, it's enough. Cabrera, I think, is a good bench player because you can pinch run him and he can play five different positions, but you don't want to start him. And even with his clutch gene, how we've seen him be clutch, we've seen him hit home runs, we've seen him make plays, activate him off the bench. Get a proven guy, like a Matt Chapman maybe, to play third base. I don't know. I don't know if they get greedy. I think they should get greedy. I think if there ever was a time, man, you have a couple months left guaranteed with Juan Soto. Yeah, and everybody that was saying trade Juan Soto, they've been quiet now. But you've got potentially a couple months left of this duo. Stack the deck around them so there's no regrets, man. Okay, Ross is back on. Go for it, Ross.
Yeah, my bad, Keith. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
All good.
But actually what I was trying to say real quick was you're always talking about the universe never unconnecting. Real quick, in case my phone goes down again, I want to get this off. You see, you want to talk about that last caller brought up, tweets making the clubhouse. I don't know if you remember Tyler Madsek, the second the Braves won the division, tweeting that Sal Licata, now the NL East is over. Well, he just happens to be going to San Francisco in this Jorge Soler trade. So you want to talk about this universe never unconnecting today. Sal's back in the news talking about the Braves and the wild card, the division being over. Well, one of the main proponents of that is going back to a deal that's bringing back none other than the World Series MVP from that 21 run. Yeah. Well, actually, that was 22, the Sal thing.
It's funny you mentioned that. I do remember that now. Now, that's bulletin board material. I think anything can work to motivate somebody, specifically these professional athletes. A tweet from Sal can definitely motivate, but I don't think a tweet can just make the wheels fall off like so many were predicting for the Mets. I think this Mets lineup and bench, they have too many guys up and down the lineup that put bat to ball. They had seven, like, I don't know how many nights they've had double-digit hits, double-digit runs. They do it every week.
Well, the thing is, too, you see Frank, and Frank's my guy, but the ironic thing with him is he had every, I thought, you know, at the time, Sal got me too, and I was legit really close to calling him up, but I heard in the tone of his voice that he was just screwing around. You know, I respect a good Twitter troll, but 22 was no joke, and I had called him up a couple times. They even put me on the morning show. I think I still got the clip, so no joke, I was about to call him, but I think you could hear, like, the tongue-in-cheek. Frank might have been one of his best, most recent rants since the old 2019 Seawald rant. This is one of his best rants since he was at Barstool. And you saw the clip with him today. But the funny thing with him is Matt Olson was talking about, now obviously Olson wasn't there for 22, but or actually he might have been either way, but they were talking about, so they used the Frank videos as motivation in the clubhouse. Him screaming after all the losses, the heartbreak, the ripping his shirt.
Those are comedy. I don't know how you can be motivated after that. That's all comedy.
They were seeing the 10F. No, man, they used every single asset they could. But overall, you know, it's like you said, you see the two losses, and more I should bring it up. I thought he had a point. You know, you see the fact that aside from a Pete Alonso garbage time two-run homer, treating it like walking off Game 7 of the World Series, that guy sometimes, they got shut out in the last two games of that series with a chance to, at worst, take 3 or 4 against Atlanta. Not only situationally in the standings, but a team that's just always had your number,
it's a morality. Man, they come
but
off.
I think they picked it back up tonight.
Two games against the Yankees in the Bronx Subway Series, scoring all those runs. Right. It's a lot of energy spent.
And I love the Winker ad. I think the line
time.
Is set at this point.
Yeah, give him time.
And I know he's got the issues with the fans and everything, but just all fodder. No, I think it's fodder. And I think you look at a guy I brought up to Marco over the weekend. He had his worst season last year with David Stearns in Milwaukee. So the fact that Stearns coming over to New York still had faith in this guy when he had like a 600 OPS or something last year, I mean, there's something to that. I don't know if it's like off the field or whatever, the fact that he still got faith in him. But as far as, you know, starters go, it sounds like we're out on Flaherty. I don't know if he's going to you guys to L.A. I don't know if Snell's coming over, so it's going to be an interesting couple hours. You see, obviously, the trades like Paredes and stuff. This is one of the more wilder trade deadlines we've seen. There's legit, like, barely any definitive buyers or sellers. You see a team like Tampa's two games over, and they're selling half the team. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for the call, Ross. Yeah, it is interesting when you look at the teams that are making moves. I mean, there's some teams that are resting, feeling like, yeah, we got enough. There's teams that are not necessarily at the top of their division and they're making moves. It depends on how you view your club, your upcoming schedule, and your needs. There's teams that I feel like should be going for it more and aren't. I mean, there's teams that are doing both. There's teams that are selling and buying. So it's going to be a crazy trade deadline. I mean, send me your options. Send me your hopes and dreams, whatever. And, yeah, like I said, Tommy Edman, the article that I read was 2 days ago. And, of course, I saw the news break of that trade. But, you know, going back to Friday, Saturday, now it's Tuesday's trade deadline. You got to find that trade deadline tracker, hit refresh, and go see. So,
when this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. KM to 2 a.m. Quickly, let's talk about the trade deadline, who's been already buying and selling, and who's left out there, who's off the board, who you guys want, who you're hoping for, and then we'll get back to the calls about the Yankees win in Philadelphia. Bombs over, Baghdad, 6 home runs hit, Judge with 2, Jazz Chisholm with 2, his first game ever playing third base. He's like that, I guess. The Yankees defeat the struggling Phillies 14-4 in their ballpark. And in Queens, the Mets right the ship. Those Minnesota nice guys, they are our pals because we are your friends. They're our friends. They're not coming to New York looking for any smoke. They come here and they lay down. It don't matter if it's New York in the Bronx, and it doesn't matter if it's New York in Queens, American League, National League. The Mets absolutely open up a can on them. 15-2, they beat the Twins. They score 6 in the 4th, 5 in the 6th, 4 in the 7th. I think I saw Evan Roberts say something about wasting Jose Buto. What? We'll have the conversation in a little bit. I'll put a pen in that. That's also something I hear a lot about. Jose Buto should be starting, or Jose Buto is now like, They have him exactly where they need him to be. He's been a dog. He's been solid. Like, what a weapon. When you were so worried about the Mets bullpen, it's now come together. This guy can go out and close the game, pitch 3 innings, because he has been a starter converted to the bullpen. So let's start there with the guys. Like, I don't know. You guys want Camille Duvall, I've heard tonight, David Bednar, Tanner Scott, Pete Fairbanks, Fernando Cruz, Mason Miller, Garrett Crochet, talk about starters, Blake Snell, Jack Flaherty, Tarek Skubal. So call me up and add to that. The buyers out there, I mean, the San Diego Padres were buyers right away. They went to get Dylan Cease. They went to get Luis Arraez. They continue to make moves in this month. I think they're still going to be active tomorrow before the buzzer sounds at 3 p.m. in San Diego. They acquired right-handed pitcher Jason Adam from the Rays for 3 prospects 2 days ago. I think they're a peer-tier team to the Mets. Obviously, when you look at the wild card standings and where they are, and this is what they do. This is what A.J. Preller does. They're going to go for it. They're going to try and add to their team. They're going to try and add to their rotation or their bullpen or wherever they see fit. They are right now currently in the 3rd wild card spot. Who else is a active team? The Mariners. When you look at the Mariners right now, the last time I was on before tonight, I drove home and I got the alert that the Mariners traded for Randy Arozarena. And they are not, they're the 3rd team out of, or a second team, no, they're the 3rd team out of the wild card. The Yankees, Twins, Royals are in the wild card. The Boston Red Sox, the Seattle Mariners, they're the second team out. They're second team looking in. They're 2.5 out of the wild card. They're a game away from being where Tampa is. And speaking of buyers and sellers, Tampa is fully selling. They have given away so many guys already. I'm waiting for Pete Fairbanks. I'm waiting for Yandy Diaz. I just mentioned Randy Arozarena. They traded Isak Paredes to the Cubs for Christopher Morel and 2 prospects. The Rays are in full on, we do not believe in this team, but we do believe in our scouting department and our guys upstairs and how they evaluate trades and they make trades. And the guys that they usually get back, remember their names. I said this that night. I'm like, don't worry about Randy. You know, people are all, Randy Arozarena, you know, he's out of the Yankees' way. Yeah, we don't got to worry about Randy so much anymore. I hope he does well with the Mariners. Worry about those 2 kids that got sent over there, because they'll be getting at the Yankees sooner rather than later. 888-808-1019. obviously the Dodgers are going for it. The Dodgers are always going for it. They're not ever passing up on adding at the deadline. They had the big trade today that I just went over with Tommy Edman, Michael Kopech, and then the Cardinals get Eric Fetty, Tommy Pham, and then the White Sox get Miguel Vargas and two prospects. The Royals have made moves going for it. The Orioles, how could I forget the Orioles? Zach Eflin made his debut tonight. Did he win? Let me go check that score. Zach Eflin comes over from the Rays to the Orioles.
Blue Jays won.
Yeah, 11-5. Blue Jays get folded up in Camden Yards. And let's see how Eflin did. Zach Eflin, in his debut, goes 6 innings. He gives up 10 hits, 3 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. Zach Eflin, former Tampa Bay Ray, now with the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, when the season started, they went to get Corbin Burnes. They just got Sir Anthony Dominguez, Christian Pache from the Phillies, and you saw Austin Hayes tonight if you were watching the Yankee game. So, I mean, the Orioles are going for it. The Dodgers are going for it. The Royals are going for it. The Mariners are going for it. The Red Sox. How could I forget the Red Sox? The Red Sox, they got Quinn Priester earlier today. Danny Jensen. Yo, I forgot that Justin Turner went to the Mariners. They add another bat, Justin Turner, a veteran bat that's going to go there and hit, can play in the infield, can DH for them. But yeah, the Red Sox made transactions. The Red Sox get James Paxton. I don't know what that's really going to do over the weekend. They get Trey Wingenter from the Tigers. The Tigers are a seller. We're waiting for them. We're waiting for the Tigers to go ahead and move Jack Flaherty and potentially Tarik Skubal, but I don't think that they're going to move him. I just think that the price is going to be too high, and the only team that could potentially pay it is the Orioles because they have so many prospects from being terrible and drafting high. But in the National League, the Phillies, they get Carlos Estevez from the Angels. That counts as going for it. That's a team that's got the best record in baseball, adding a reliever. Who else? I mentioned the Cubs, but the Cubs, like, I don't know. I think the Cubs are doing a little bit of both. I don't think that the Cubs are going for it in the sense of, like, they think they can make the wild card. They're 6 games out of the wild card. I think they're just making moves, doing a little bit of both transaction-wise. So I mentioned the Padres, the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Brewers. The Brewers add Nick Mears from the Rockies. The Rockies are a seller. Tyler J., obviously, Mets fans know that transaction went down. Aaron Civale from the Rays. And, yeah, so the top sellers, I mean, the Marlins and the Rays down there in Florida, they're getting rid of guys. The Rockies, the Tigers, the Nationals, the Angels. There's plenty more moves to be made today. Let's get back to you. Yankee fans want to live in W3. That's a win streak. They come off the series win in Boston. If Clay Holmes was better Friday night, maybe that's a sweep in Boston. They right the ship. I believe that Jazz Chisholm's presence, JCJ, Jazz Chisholm Jr., I think his presence was felt before he was even there. I think everybody in the Yankee universe, once they made that trade, that made everybody in the Yankee universe feel like, okay, they're trying to change the clubhouse. They're trying to make some moves. There was rumors that they did not want to add him to the clubhouse. They did it anyway. This is a move that can help them before the deadline. It shakes the clubhouse. It shakes the room. It makes guys think about, you know, hey, maybe I'm next. Gleyber Torres is talking about, oh, I'm a second baseman, bro. Pretty soon they're not going to care what position you think you play. Trent Grisham said, yeah, he's a talented player. Can't wait to see what he does for the team. Trent Grisham knows, hey, he plays center field like I play center field. My days could be numbered. Verdugo steps it up. You know, Gleyber Torres, I don't even know if I said this on the Fan. Gleyber Torres has stepped it up since Yorbit Vivas. We didn't even get to see Yorbit Vivas. As soon as it was announced Yorbit Vivas was joining the team, Gleyber was like, oh, I got to play better. So, man, just having a sense of urgency, making guys not be comfortable that, oh, yeah, I just get to put the pinstripes and the road grays on every day. Since that move was made with Jazz, a guy that can play 3 different positions, now 4, I think that gave them some energy. You're getting Prime Judge. You're getting Juan Soto. Guys like Austin Wells have been solid. Volpe lowering the lineup. Volpe, him. Hashtag H11M. I made that up. He's back. He's back. Gilmatic, Luis Gil, had a couple bad games. He's back. He's back. Carlos Rodon, more than serviceable. I mean, Stroman wasn't worth dog-ass, but whatever. They picked him up. Team wins over the weekend. Another team win tonight. They look like they're having fun. Everybody's contributing. Good at-bats tonight. Good quality of at-bats against Zach Wheeler. Not just going up there flailing at any, like, good quality at-bats. Juan Soto had a great at-bat. Before him, Verdugo had a great at-bat, and they just kept adding on. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Joey in Brooklyn. What's up, Joey? You're on the Fan. Joey, sometimes I catch him sleeping. Peter is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Peter? You're on the Fan.
Hey, it's been a long time since I offered you a beer.
Beer here. What's up, my guy?
Well, the reason why I'm speaking to you, I got a new lady in my life.
Good.
And that's been taking a lot of stuff.
She's much more important than me yapping about the Yankees till 2 in the morning.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I like the way Jazz came in, and I think Cashman might pull out one more string. And,
two or three more. I hope that we bring in two or three more players tomorrow. I'm looking for a starter. I'm looking for a high-end reliever, and maybe even get greedy and add another bat where it's like, hey, we have multiple options on the bench if need be.
Yep. But as far as seats go, it looks like it'll be in 204 for John Sterling's T-shirt giveaway.
Yeah, coming up. I was just talking about the figurines. I got to pull up the Yankees promotional schedule. They're always going to draw. Because on top of the giveaways, now the Yankees are playing better, so that's going to bring out more of the fans that are like, oh, I haven't gone to the stadium since Brian Cashman took over. Like, those people are pulling up now.
Yeah, I missed you over at Juan Soto basketball jersey.
I was standing in 203. The Ali Ramirez sign is row 7, seat 25. I was in like 6-4. There was a point where I stood up. I yelled, Peter!
I heard my name, but I didn't see it. But I'm going to be in 204 for John Sterling.
All right. Well, if I end up going to John Sterling T-shirt giveaway night, that is Tuesday, August 20th. I'll try and come find you.
Yeah, I'll let you know where my seats are going to be right before the show.
Yeah, before the show, tell me exactly where you are, and I'll just appear.
You got it. That'd be nice. And it would be the first time my lady, she's going to a game.
I was about to ask you before you signed off. Is she a Yankee fan?
She's sort of a Yankee fan, but, I mean, she lives all the way up in Maine.
So there might be some Boston in her blood. There might be some Red Sox influence over there.
No, she won't. She always wanted to go to Yankee Stadium. So this is going to be, she's never been to a Major League Baseball game.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So there you go, man. You can bring her and you get props for that.
Oh, yes. So hopefully see you then and I'll keep in touch.
Yes, sir. Take care of that lady. Peter, that's my guy. Yeah, I'm like that. And man, shout out to, there's just so many people I run into at the stadium. I think I did a live on Instagram before the Subway series on Wednesday. And, you know, these young guys pulled up on me. And it's you know, it's interesting because you don't know everybody. Some people are anonymous online, and they're not weirdos, and they're not haters, and they're not trolling, and they're not piling on. But shout out to Dave Dog from TikTok, you know, I had no idea. He's like, yo, I made the cover photo of your Instagram live. I'm like, yeah, because you made my live. I went live, and you pulled up to be like, hey, I listened to your show. Good to meet you. And we caught that all on camera. Shout out to my boy Dalton, who was filming like a day-to-day, day-in-the-life vlog. That's coming up soon, where we just show like what it's like to leave my house at 2:30, get up to the stadium, kill some time. Didn't really do all that. I usually do up there. But then he films, you know, in the stadium doing the roll call. It's funny. He's like, bro, he like edited the video. He's like, you disappeared for like an hour. I'm like, yeah, because I went to some places where you couldn't roll with me. And then I popped back out and the Yankees were getting destroyed by the Mets. It was just weird in there. I just like, I don't know, couldn't wait for it to end. Nobody was trying to rally the troops. And then we ride from Yankee Stadium to WFAN and we got all that on camera. And he's got a great camera. I can't wait for that to come out. I got to edit my YouTube. I gotta turn the Talking Nets YouTube into just my like brand new YouTube and use that to upload that video and do some more YouTube content. It was funny because right before I, you know, took the break to move, I put out, you know, I had to pull down all of my stuff off the wall. I built a studio in five of my last six apartments, or maybe it was five for five, I don't know. But like when I quit my job in 2018, I knew that video content was the way. And this is before TikTok. Like, this is like when TikTok was just coming out. TikTok used to be Musical.ly when I was working at MTV, and nobody was really big on it. But I knew that video content was the way, and I knew the algorithms and the way everything was going. I'm like, you got to have some type of set backdrop. So in all my apartments, my girl allowed me to take up a wall, and then as we made more money and moved into different places, it ended up being a whole room, and I would take my sports memorabilia and just stack it up on the wall and make it look cool and have LED lights and... You know, for the last 6 years, I've been creating content like that. And now I'm blessed that, like, I don't really need to have the wall that pops and gets attention. I've built up enough of a following, enough of a name. You know, I have people watching on the Bleacher Report app when I go live. I might be on Lookout for Foul Territory. I might pop back on their podcast later today. Fanatics Fest coming up, man. If you guys are going to Fanatics Fest, that Sunday, look out for your boy. I think I'm going to pop in Friday for our live shows, but I'll be doing the live show for WFAN that Sunday at Fanatics Fest. So, man, a lot of good things coming up. I'm blessed to have this opportunity to connect with you guys on WFAN and beyond. Time flies. And for anybody that's looking to pursue the dream, just go for it, man. It's so wide open now. If you're dope, if you're talented, people will find you.